You're listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. Today we are looking at 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your gift of peace and love. We thank you for this time here together with you. And so, O God, as we do this time together, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You, our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. Amen. Love. Exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you. And love, life's sweetest reward. Let it flow. It floats back to you. The love boat soon will be making another run. You remember these old shows, right? Shows like The Love Boat, Fantasy Island. You know, shows where people would come to explore new relationships or rekindle old ones or to find hope and meaning in their lives. It's not a new story. It's not something restricted to the 80s. It's been going on forever. It continues as people seek love in their lives. People still look for love in all kinds of places. You know, couples try to get away together without kids. I'm not going to say to remember better days, but to remember why they're together. I mean, Bev and I, there's nothing wrong with that. Bev and I try to do it whenever we can. You know, we try to get away without the kids once in a while, just to reconnect on a deeper level with each other. I think we all know love is a very powerful emotion. Just think of all the things it makes us do. Love makes us commit ourselves to one person for the entirety of our lives, forsaking all others in this thing we call marriage. It makes us feel emotions, other emotions like jealousy. It makes us do crazy things like maybe move halfway across the country or around the world because of love. It can also make us feel like our world is completely shattered when that trust of love is broken. Love is pretty powerful. And love can also change us in ways that we would have never expected. I watched a documentary this week. It's on Netflix if you're interested. It's called Accidental Courtesy. It's the story of a man by the name of Daryl Davis. And he is a man who hung out with the Ku Klux Klan. The thing is, Daryl Davis is a black man. So why would he do this? He did it so members of the Klan would get to know him and eventually change their ways. In a closet in his home, Daryl Davis has dozens of robes from Ku Klux Klan members. He gathered them when these men changed their lives and walked away from the Klan. And some of these robes include robes of high-ranking officials in the Ku Klux Klan movement, including heads of states and counties, high-ranking officials within the Klan. Daryl reached out to these men and women in friendship. He invited them to his home in some cases so that they could get to know one another. And they learned over that time to love each other and respect each other as equals within this human race. And their lives were forever changed, including the life of Daryl. Imagine a black man stepping out into a community that's known for violence against his kind. And as he did it, he went out and offered the hand of friendship instead of hatred. His philosophy was pretty simple. How can they hate me if they don't know me? And that's how we approached these people. Very simple, yet very powerful. This week we're kicking off Remembrance Day celebrations here. There was a lovely dinner for the veterans at the Legion yesterday afternoon. And there's things going to be happening all over the place. And as a chaplain for the Legion, I'm privileged to be part of a lot of them. I get to go to the schools and take part in the services there. I get to take part at the Veterans Hospital, part of that service. I get to take part in Saturday morning at the Cenotaph. It's a real honor for me to be part of this, especially when my grandfathers fought in the war. And we do this because we want to celebrate, but we also want to commemorate and remember the sacrifices that were made. Men and women who died, men and women who came home after being apart from their families for a long time and struggling with all kinds of issues that we now call PTSD. And we continue, and we also honor and respect those who continue to fight today in places of war around the world. Part of the problem with war is that they often start because there's a misunderstanding. Imagine if Hitler had taken the time in the 1930s to sit down and actually get to know the Jews of Germany. What might have happened then? What might have happened if Japan and America had sat down at a table and got to know each other around that same time? Imagine if when world leaders get together for meetings that we see in the news all the time, that instead of debating democracies and warheads and trade, they actually sat down over a meal and said, "Tell me about yourself. Tell me about your family. Let me get to know you as a person instead of a country." Kind of comes back to that question. How can they hate me if they don't know me? How can war happen? How can you hate someone? How can you wish that someone would be wiped off the face of the planet if they are your friend? Now, sure, this may be simplifying things a bit, but the core message is there. I believe peace will only come if we sit down and truly get to know one another, that we learn to love each other for who we are as individuals. Are there exceptions? Sure, there are. There may be people out there who will never change. And I say maybe because we don't know what God's still got to do. We still don't know what God's plan is. God's still in control. Many people have and will change when love is our first action. If someone can leave the Ku Klux Klan as one of the high-ranking officials and say that they have a great friendship, they have a great trust in a man like Daryl Davis, then I believe anyone can change. Now, in case you didn't notice, our reading today from 1 John has quite the theme around love. And it has been for the last few weeks we've been looking at the book. Love has been kind of this recurring theme in John's letter. And he writes these things with good authority. Because love is a huge part of what Jesus did in his time here on the earth. Love is a big theme throughout the entire Bible. In fact, you could say it is the theme of the Bible. Now, sure, you can look at the Old Testament and you can see people fighting wars and people killing one another and they attribute it to God. But when you read these pieces and you read what comes before and you read what comes after and you read what's being said during these situations, you can often find a prophet or someone saying, "Look, where's the love? Where's our love of God in all of this? Why have we turned from God? Let's come back to God. Let's get back to the love of God." You often see these when you come to the war themes of the Bible. That message of love God first and love your neighbor as yourself. That is that recurring theme as you go through the Bible. And Jesus, I keep going back to this, I'm going to have to preach on it sometime, the Sermon on the Mount. There's Matthew 5 and 6. Jesus' first real teaching, his first real sermon. And if you look at part of Matthew 5, you see the importance of love and how it relates to God. And Jesus says, "You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." We must be perfect as our heavenly Father is perfect. So how is our heavenly Father perfect? He loves everyone. Our heavenly Father, he loves me. He loves all of you. He loves the drug addicts in our town. He loves our children. He loves their children. God even loves the drug dealers. He loves everyone. And he sent Jesus to teach us this. This important thing that we all need to know. He loves everyone. Psalm 119 talks about love. And it's in a response to worshiping God. Verse 165 says, "Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble." When we love God, we find peace. We find strength to resist temptation. We won't stumble. If we love God, first and foremost in our lives, God's love sustains us in more than any other way we can find. And if we go back to 1 John chapter 4, John tells us this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves God has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Brothers and sisters, we need God's love in our lives. The world needs the love of God. And he needs it in our churches so that we can share this incredible love with our neighbors, our communities, our country even. We as a society have long forgotten what it is about this love of God that's being offered so freely. A love which offers healing, healing to our troubled souls and brings us peace. Now, when John's writing, it seems like he must have the Sermon on the Mount in the back of his head because he's kind of making a bit of a connection here. You know, he says, as we seek to be perfect children of God, just as God is perfect. And so he says this, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." A life of love is the underlying theme to a life of faith. When you think about it, it makes perfect sense. If God is willing to pour out his love for us on the cross, as his Son died on the cross for our sins, then we should be willing to pour out our love for him and share it with those who travel this world with us. Instead, we'll turn to the news. And what do we see? What do we read? We read of the threat of global war on a level that we haven't seen in 30 years. Instead, we read of people who are so upset with people different than them that they'll drive into a crowd on a street and start shooting. The world is broken right now, incredibly broken. And it needs the love, the healing love of God for those who really need it. This is where the church, I believe, needs to step in like never before. Because our government's not doing it. Our government seems to be quite happy to dismiss, even ridicule, issues around faith these days. They refused to speak against Bill C-62, which was in Quebec, the banning of head coverings for women, for Muslim women. It wholeheartedly supports our Governor General when she makes it sound like people of faith are of a lower class who are somehow less enlightened than those people of science. Well, I'm a man of science. I have a Bachelor of Computer Science hanging on my wall. My wife, she's a woman of science. She's got a Bachelor's of Science in Biology, honors. We are people of science. But we also believe in a God of love who created this universe and everything within it. And in response to that, we seek to love as God loves us to the best of our abilities, even those who disagree with us, as hard as that may be. Because our God has commanded it. In fact, as Jesus tells us, and I read it earlier, we are called to love even those who oppose us. We must speak in tones of love, and it's not easy. I've felt myself chewing off my own tongue a few times this week. Because we want to respond in love, don't we? And it's hard to do when your belief system is under attack, and the belief of others are under attack. If we cannot love, then we cannot be of help to the coming kingdom of God. There's a famous verse in 1 Corinthians, the love verse, right? Chapter 13. And Paul writes this: "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to move mountains, but have not love, I have nothing. If I give it all away, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So now faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Now think about this. This is written by Paul. Paul was a man who hunted Christians before he gave his life to the Lord. He arrested them. He even oversaw the killing of some of them. But even now, he recognizes the importance of love. He himself was a recipient of this love from the church when he first converted, when he first gave his life to Jesus. Now imagine what Paul's life would have been like at that point if the church had said, "You know what? No. You've killed too many of us. We cannot love you." Imagine what Paul would have turned out to be if the church had not turned to him and loved him, even after what he had done. Certainly, the church would be very different. Our Bibles would be radically different. The world would be different. Love changes things. It changes lives. It changes families. It changes neighborhoods, communities, towns. Love changes the world. So how do I know this? I can say with confidence that love found me. Yeah, I grew up in a home of loving parents. A great home. Yeah, I found love when I met Bev on the campus of Acadia University a long time ago. But no other love has come so close to the love I've received when I gave my life to God. And this love continues to grow in me, and it continues to change me. And I hope you've found this love in your own life. The love of our perfect Father in heaven, given to this world through the life of His Son, who died for our imperfections so that we may be perfected in God's image in the world. God's love surpasses all things. His love in us helps us love others around us as we all seek to be children of our God, offering love and peace to a world in need. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we love love. We thank you for this wonderful emotion. We thank you that you love us more than we can ever know. But we also need your help to show love. The world is a difficult place right now, a place where love can be very hard to find at times. So help us to be examples of love. Help us to sow seeds of love. Help us to love those who are hard to love. And help us to realize the depth of your love for us as you showed it on the cross of Calvary. We love you, Lord. We need you. So may we know your loving presence here today and every day as we seek to live out the lives of love you call us to live. We ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.